Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Everybody has this thing to where you're worried about money. The Bible says a lot about money. Also, the Wall Street Journal says a lot about money. A recent stat just came out that 70% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. 70%. How many of y'all don't want to live from paycheck to paycheck, even if you do right now? That's not the way God designed your life. And so the reason why I showed you that video is to talk just a little bit about how we get, you know, really upset when it comes to our stuff. And years ago, you got these M&Ms, all campuses. I went to a baseball game with Ashton, and I bought her some M&Ms. And I said, give me some. And she said, mine. Everybody shout, mine. She said, those are mine. And I said, I bought those for you. She said, mine. And I go, I'm your dad. I bought them. I could buy more. I could go to the little vending area and buy all of them. But I was trying to teach her that these are not hers, that we need to share. And so many times we have this little bitty bag mentality when God wants us to go to the next level of my money, then ultimately take us to a huge level of resources so that we can help other people, because there's a lot of people that are hurting in the world. And people are upside down financially because they don't prioritize their money. They don't know where the money's going. So at the end of the month, every month, there's always more month than money. So we have to have a thing called a budget. And I know it's a curse word in church, but let's all shout it. Shout budget. Come on, our city. Everybody, say it again. Why? Budget. So you got to have a budget, and you can't budge from the budget. You got to know how much is going out in accordance to how much is coming in. Last night at this very campus, the Lord spoke to me and said to tell people this, and I'd never heard this before, but I like it. He said, tell people that they're the CFO of their own life. You are the chief financial officer of your life. So if you work in an organization and they were spending more than they were taking in, now they have to lay you off. How many of y'all be very aggravated at the CFO? You should be more responsible. You should be watching the bottom line. Because how many of y'all know if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall. In other words, there are surprises that come up. I mean, just one of the air units, there's a bunch of them here, but the one back last week, it went out as $50,000. That was a surprise. There's a lot of $50,000 air units. I don't even know how many we own, but it's a lot of them. Football field's a parking lot. And we never come to you and say, hey, you know what? We need extra money. Can you guys give? Why? Because we have good financial practices that we practice. We keep in line. In fact, we're on television, number one rated on ABC, CBS, and NBC in Palm Beach County and St. Louis, and we don't ask for any money. I wonder how they do that. Because we have good financial practices. We have to be smart with our money. But people live paycheck to paycheck, and it's not the will of God. We serve El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He said, I want to bless you coming in. I want to bless you going out. In 2 Corinthians 8, he said, I want you to have enough so that you have no need. Check this out. The Amplified says, no need for outside aid or support. So a lot of times I watch people. I have a new book coming out this fall called Solving Your Money Problems, and I'll go on tour with that book and so on, and it's a little bit Dave Ramsey-ish, yet at the same time it's got a lot of super on the natural with debt cancellation things that God does. But my dad taught me early on how to solve money problems. In other words, you have to take control of your money and have a budget and prioritize the things that are important to you and God, and it means you're cutting back now, but you're going to live like nobody else later. When you get this money thing right. God doesn't want you living from paycheck to paycheck. But people have a combined household income of $100,000 a year and they drive a $70,000 Escalade. That's not going to work, okay? Everybody wants stuff. They're like, hey, I want the iPhone 4. That was old technology. I need the 7. Your kids think you're a total, you know, dipstick if you don't have a 7. What's up with you? Are you in the dark ages? But you can't always get everything you want right now because what happens is you forfeit your future. What I say oftentimes is people go for immediate gratification instead of long-term satisfaction. I want you to write that down. If you go for immediate gratification, like, oh, I could get this now, you forfeit long-term satisfaction. So we even see this in marriages where people end up sleeping and they're like, oh my gosh, I slept with the wrong person. I woke up and I was naked in bed. And oh my gosh, I looked under the sheets and she was naked too. I wonder how that happened. Our eyes were focused on the wrong thing. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So that happens with lust. Not only sexual lust, but it happens with that new car smell. Oh my gosh. Come on. Anybody ever smell the new car smell? It'll get you, right? So Bellman has a hot dog party, and they say, everybody, come out to Bellman GMC. We're going to give you free hot dogs. Bring the kids. Free soda. We got playgrounds. We got stuff for your kids. We got puppets. It's great. And then they're over here showing you a car that you can't afford to impress people that you don't like. Even people at the red light, they're never going to see you again. But you sign your name because you can afford it. I can afford the payment. You don't even really know what you paid for the car. So, yeah, can you afford $399, $499, or $599? No, I want to know what I'm paying for the car. That doesn't matter. What can you afford? See, the word afford actually means that you could actually write a check for the car. Paying the payment sets you up oftentimes for failure. Now, you look good on your way to chapter 11. Come on, somebody. But it gets you there, and now you're broke for the rest of your life. So I want to teach you how to think, because if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you live. So instead of saying, this is my money, one of the things that the tithe does is it opens up the windows of heaven for you to be blessable. But another huge thing it does is it just teaches you to live within your means. Each and every day in our organization or even individually, we live within our means. Now, we certainly can't go out and do crazy things. So let me tell you this. The Bible says the wise man counts the costs. So how did this church happen? You're looking around our city right now thinking, how did this big church happen? Or here, how did this big church happen? Let me tell you how it happened. Years ago, when I was about 10 years old, my dad said, we're going to get out of debt. And he wrote a little song called, we're out of debt and our needs are met. We've got plenty more to put up in store. And he would sing it. We're out of debt, our needs are met. We've got plenty more to put up in store. I was a little 10-year-old listening to him. And he said, we're going to figure out how to beat the bankers at their own game. So he took me at 10 and he walked around the bank and he said, see, son, look at all this granite. Look at all this marble. These people are winning. Look how nasty. We got linoleum, son. What's going on here? Then he said, look, even the pin. They don't want to even give you a pin. They got it on a chain. These people, they are not generous. He said, we got to figure it out. So he said, hey, I figured it out. If I could make a payment and an extra principal payment, just $28 a month would save us $600 a month. We got to get aggressive. But I'm so aggressive, son, that I don't want to just take it from a 30-year amortization to a 15. I want to sell my motorcycle. I want to have a yard sale. And then he come to us and he said, guess what, kids, we're not going to have any Christmas this year. And he had told me the truth about Santa Claus, so I thought we were screwed. But he said, listen, we're not going to have Christmas this year, but we're believing God that God will help us out. But I promise you, someday we'll have a good Christmas. And he took me over on Telegraph Road. There was a van place. It's still there. It's called Van City. And they had a go-kart van, like a little minivan, and it had a little body on it, and it had two little seats in it. And he said, when I pay the house off, I'm taking you here to buy it. Well, 22 months later, he paid the house off, and I was the only little kid driving down the road in this little small area with carbon monoxide killing brain cells because my dad did something nobody else did. We got to live like nobody else was living. Then after he got it paid off, what was his goal? Now again, we're going to honor God. He takes it to the bank, Frank Ziegler, Lee May Bank. He says, Mr. Ziegler, I paid off my house. Here's the title deed. Will you loan me money to build a church? He said, well, every time we've ever loaned money to a bank, like the deacon board came in and they all kind of signed their name and they all kind of controlled it. But I said, well, that's why we want to do it different, because I want to do church a different way, and I want my kids to be able to be culturally relevant in the future. And if we do it under this Presbyterian church or this Nazarene church or this Baptist church, we would have to probably abide by their rules instead of this biblical rule. So I actually want to fund it myself. And so they gave my dad the money and he built a building, but we didn't have money for paint. So he decides what we're going to do is we're going to do something very smart that we still do today. We're going to find out how we can do it the cheapest way. So we would go to Sherman Williams. We would go to hardware stores, and they would throw away the paint that people didn't like. Well, this wasn't the right color pink, sir. This wasn't the right color brown. This is ivory, not tan. And they don't want to take it home, so they throw it in the trash. So my dad would put me in the trash can, and I would take it, and we'd take it back to the garage, and eventually our garage was full of paint. Then he got a big trash can and a drill. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen right now. And he started, he was making a custom color for Faith Church. Come on right now. And we painted the church for free. Somebody ought to give God praise. We went to carpet stores and we got carpet samples and we double-sided the tape. And that's what we did in the nursery. And people came to the nursery and said, this is so cool. This is so awesome. How creative. And we did it with no money, but we did it with little debt. So my dad was teaching me he didn't give me a lot of fruit. He only had 180 people. He only had a building's worth, 800,000 was all said and done. But what he gave me was root. So then I took the root. And then now you're sitting in $37 million campus here, $21 million, you're sitting in Earth City, and we owe less than $10 million on all of our campuses and all the resources because we still dig out of trash bins. We still serve. Somebody ought to help me right now. And we're reaching people because my dad taught me to prioritize God. Everybody shout, God's first.
God's first.
Come on, Earth City, shout it. God's first.
God's first.
Check this out. Let's go there. Malachi. This will change your life forever. Malachi tells a really cool story in 3 verse 8. It says, begin by being honest. Do dishonest people rob God? But you've robbed me day after day, and you ask, well, how have you robbed me? He said, the tithe and the offering. So notice the tithe is the 10% and the offering. He said, now you're under a curse, and the whole nation is under a curse because you're robbing me. Bring the full tithe to the temple or the treasury or to the house, to the church. Bring the full tithe. And this is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. He said, test me now and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. So God doesn't want to just give you a little bit of M&Ms. He wants to just bless you so much that it's overflowing with prosperity. But he said, by robbing me, you've robbed the whole nation. So today, people were in hospitals, and we got emails and pictures from people already who were in hospitals today who couldn't go to church, who watched Faith Church for free. If we did not have the resources to do that, we would be robbing the nation. All over the country, people are helped and resourced, and girls are rescued from sex trafficking, and kids are eating in Haiti and playing on playgrounds, and people are getting water out of wells in India because we resource. Now, here's the interesting part about it. Remember I told you that 70% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. Do you know that 80% of the people in this room, in all campuses and all churches, they don't tithe? 80% of the people don't tithe. So 20% of the people I watch on the sidelines as they're getting blessed. I mean, one of the guys at our church is a first fruiter to God. He's a tither. And when the Rams ran out of town, he bought a multi-million-dollar house for less than $1 million. That's what happens. I've watched story after story after story for people who get it right with God, and then they get to live the life of their dreams. But the people who say, you know what, I'm going to rob from God. I'm not going to budget my money. I want it now. These people live in a cycle of debt. And Discover Card discovers where they live. And MasterCard masters their life instead of saying, I'm going to take charge of my life because I'm the CFO of my life. And I'm going to test God in this. And I'm not going to bring him the last fruit. I'm not going to just throw something at God. Here, God, here's a dollar. Here's an offering. No, I'm going to be systematic because if you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. I can tell you where you're going to be this time next year. I can tell you at the end of the month where you're going to be. If I can look at your month and I can look at your money, I can tell where you're going to be. The problem is most people stick their hand in the sand pretending I will feel better if I go to Starbucks and get something now. Yeah, we're going there. My daughter, trust me when I tell you we have no problem going to Starbucks, but I don't like to go to Starbucks because it's a waste of money. So yesterday she said, hey, you know what? Can you remember about Starbucks? And I said, why don't you drink coffee at home? I said, what if I told you right now that I would give you $1,200? What would you do if I gave you $1,200? Well, I'd buy a Gucci bag. Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. $5 every day, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. 25 times 4 is 100. 100 times 12 is 1,200. You could have a $1,200 bag if you get your coffee at home. In fact, you ought to make coffee and make it so good you sell it to people at the church. Come on, somebody, and make some money. Have you like a little lemonade stand outside the church. But don't be a sucker to line up at Starbucks with everybody else waiting in line. If you want me to write on your cup, Linda, Wonder Woman, I don't care. I'll write whatever on there. But you need to save the money and start living like you know you need to live so you can live like you really want to live down the road. Somebody ought to give God praise today. How do you do that? You honor God with your first fruits. So people say, I can afford this SUV. You mean you can afford the payment? You can't afford it if you didn't write the check for it. So what also I think is important to understand that your happiness shouldn't be in someone else's head. Now, I'm not against you having nice things. Brooke Dubbin's a friend of mine. Carol House Furniture, you like nice things. But I want you to own the nice things. I don't want you to be strapped to where now you're having marital problems, you're looking for a lease, and you're always on the edge of a breakdown because you never really honored God. So God never really opened up the windows of heaven to do anything great in your life because you have been upside down in your budgeting. Tithing, big deal to God. It's not because God needs your money. It's God needs to know he's got your heart. So I opened the door for Nicole, not because she's not capable. I have to kind of run to get to the door because her end seems longer than mine. I got to run over there to try to get the door. I don't do it because she's not capable. I do it because I honor her. And because I honor her and she likes that, I open it. God says, honor me. And when you honor me, it's not that I needed a dollar out of 10. It's that I needed your 90% to be blessed, not cursed. Because if God came all the way from heaven to earth, I don't think he would have died on the cross for you just to have an Escalade. I don't think he would have did all that just for you to have a home with a pool. I don't think he's against you doing any of that, but I don't think any of that's necessary. I think he did it because people are dying, going to hell, and they're hurting really bad. And he wants the church not to be 20%ers. He wants the 80% to join up with the club and say, we're not going to rob God. We're going to build churches. We're going to help missionaries. Somebody ought to help me right now. And by getting this right, we establish honor and say, God, I'm not going to rob you again. So what if today you said worship's going on, it's awesome, here and at our city, and you're worshiping the Lord. And then you say at the end of the service today, God, I heard this message by Pastor David. God, I'm asking you today, I'll tithe on this, God, but I need you to lead me to a quick trip where there's not a lot of cops, God, so that I can go in there and I can rob that quick trip, God. Give me, God, show me a 7-Eleven somewhere, God, where I can go in and get a Slurpee, and then on the way out, I can see somebody with some jewelry, and I can sling a Slurpee upside their head, God, and knock them out, and then take their money. How many of y'all know God's not going to bless that? Some of y'all look confused. I said, God is not going to bless that. He's not a God who blesses robbery. So we go to church and say, God, I love you. I would tithe. I promise you I would, but I don't have the money. And you got your hands raised worshiping when you just got your nails done for $45. How great is our God? Got your toes down. Sing with me, how great is our God? See what I'm saying? You and I do, unfortunately, what we want to do. And most of the time we do it because we're allowing lust to enter in. And lust is not always sexual. It's just lust. All the trees in the garden, God said, you can have all these trees. 90% you can have, but don't touch that one. And sure, it's not. She's got to get up there and go, I wonder what that'd be like. So this is what we do. We look at the tithe and go, wow, I could buy a 70-inch TV because my 60 TV, it's not allowing me to Netflix and chill properly. If I could get an 80, I tell you what, an 80 would really help me. And so what we do is we say, this is my money, and then we disqualify ourselves with immediate gratification. This is how preachers get messed up. This is how businesses get messed up. Oh, she's hot. All sex is the same. Let's go there for a second because I want to deal with that. So what's that got to do with money? If Shaquita leaves you, she's taking half your stuff. Come on, somebody right now. Got quiet up in this Presbyterian church today. Lust is conceived when you look at it. So you have to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to first fruit God. The first dime out of a dollar goes to God, and I will not touch it. So here's what my dad said. He said, I don't even know what this means. He goes, if it hair-lips the devil, we're not going to steal God's tithe. We're going to prioritize God. And then all these years later, when I look back at the well-spent life that he led, it's the only reason that I can stand up here today, because if I was an organization, they would make me wear socks. If I was an organization, they wouldn't let me on television. If I was an organization, they wouldn't let us do what we do. If we were in some kind of religious organization, we couldn't paint the church black. I'm telling you, I want to do it God's way. Somebody ought to shout amen so we can be who God called us to be. Now, Proverbs 3, verse 9. Let's go there. Proverbs 3, 9. It says something really cool. You're really going to like this one. It says, honor the Lord with the substance and with the last fruits. No, first fruits. The what?
First.
Come on, shout it, class. What?
First.
Honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now it kicks in. After you do that, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, or your garages filled with little yellow go-kart minivans, or whatever you want. Because if you get this right, all the rest gets right. But if you jack this up, everything else gets jacked up, because we did not honor the Lord with our first fruit, therefore he could not increase us, because we're asking him to increase us, but we're stealing from him. And we're also just being dumb. We've all done dumb stuff with money. I won't look, but how many of y'all raise your hand? You've done some dumb stuff with money. So dumb stuff with money is knowing that cars are a depreciating asset, big time. But we love cars. It's a status symbol. We need our cars. After all, we need that car. We look sexy in that car. We could probably get a man in that car. I feel good in that car. I feel strong in that car. I need that. I need that car. So we buy that car, and then we take a huge hit in the first 4 years. So it'd be like me telling you, hey, I want you to be my financial investor. And I gave you $30,000, and then three years later, you come back and go, I know you gave me 30. Here's your return. Here's $11,000. How did you take $30,000 and reduce it to 11? Well, I'm just horrible with money. So people do that. Now, again, I'm not against you having nice stuff. I want you to have nice stuff, but I want you to own it. I don't want the bank to come repossess it. I don't want you to have to hide it at your uncle's house while you take an Uber to their house because they're trying to find it. I want you to prosper and be in health. And the way you have increase is you realize that God put us in this garden and he said, Adam and Eve, don't look at that right now because your desire follows your attention. And to prove it, have you ever been laying in bed and a commercial came on about Domino's pizza and suddenly you were in the mood for some cinnamon sticks? Have you ever watched the commercial of Dairy Queen and there's like a hot fudge river and big chunks of chocolate are falling off, splashing? Come on, raise your hand right now. Okay, so now what did you want? You saw it. The merchandisers got your eyes and you're like, oh man, I really do want that. That would taste so good. Instead of saying, hang on. I'm going to turn that channel because I'm not going to get my eyes focused on what I'm not supposed to, because right now I'm working a plan and we're digging out of a trash can, but my dad didn't realize that even today, after all my preaching, I'll jump on a plane as soon as I'm done with this, fly to Florida and preach tonight at our church in Florida to more people than this at 6 o'clock. And we built it from nothing because we have a resource to say, God, use my life, use my body, use my lungs. I'm staying in shape so I can preach better. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm saving money so I can help more people, because trust me when I tell you, you can only have so many Prada shoes and so many Gucci bags and so many whatever, and that makes you happy. The stuff doesn't make you happy. Now, money does keep the kids in touch. Can I get an amen? But, and it makes you a little more comfortable on your way, but I'm not saying you can't have it. I'm saying that it can't have you. But if you're not first fruiting God, you're doing what God said in Joshua chapter 7. Now, I want you to write it down because I don't have time to go, but I want you to read it this week. Joshua 7. Shout it. Where? Joshua. One more time. What? So Joshua 7 gives this story, and God says, hey, there are 10 cities. There's that numerical order of 10 again, the 10th, the tithe. He said, there are 10 cities that we're going to go, and we're going to slaughter them. But the first one, Jericho, is mine. So don't touch that. And sure it's not, some guy named Achan went in there and stole a bunch of God's stuff. So now they go to the next town, which is Ai, which is no bigger than like Licking, Missouri, or Piedmont, Missouri, or Potosi, okay? So they go to Potosi. They just defeated New York City. They go to Potosi, and they almost get slaughtered because the blessing from the blessor was not on their life, and they were cursed with a curse. So then they said, what's going on? Come to find out, they had somebody who was basically the CFO who was stealing out of the bag, and God could not honor it. Therefore, their protection was taken back. And that's part of what's happening in the United States of America right now, is we don't honor God. Everybody's saying, God bless America. You know what? America needs to bless God and realize that we're founded as a country that is saying that God is our chief shepherd. Somebody ought to help me. In God we trust is on our money. Somebody ought to stay strong for the church right now. People are confused. I'm proud to be an American. And I prayed for the Obama administration and respect him, love him. It's his birthday this week. I pray for the Trump administration because God knows America needs to understand that we just can't do whatever we want. And they don't know what they're doing. So here's what I want to make sure. Don't trust the government, okay? I'm dependent on my Social Security. I'm telling you, they don't have it. This system is designed to fail. Some trust in chariots, the Bible says, and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And on the halls of Congress at 15, I saw it. It says, if a people or an institution forgets their hard beginnings, they're beginning to decay. We need to understand that we just can't buy everything and do whatever we want to do. We serve a God that we have to trust, and if he blesses us, we have to make sure that we're blessable so he can continue the cycle to understand there's some things that are off limits, and the tithe is off limits. Somebody ought to shout amen. And if he says it's holy, it's holy. And here's the good part, you're holy. Didn't that feel good? You're like, I'm somebody. You're like, who am I? You're anointed. You're qualified. You're blessed. So nobody ever taught you about money. You can't help that. But now God brought you here, and I'm going to teach you about health and nutrition. I'm going to teach you about drinking Diet Coke and pepperoni pizza. It'll kill you and cause brain cancers. I got Alzheimer's disease. No, you poisoned your brain, and now you're spraying, you know, aerosol over you all day. So you spray an aerosol. The quickest way to get, you know, if you even now, right now, if you want to get like bioidentical hormones to make your body younger and feel better, it'll probably be applied on the skin. And it changes everything. But you're spraying, drink water out of a plastic bottle. Things are jacked up. And I know everybody's like, man, it sure is depressing. Why are you depressing us? I'm just trying to tell you what I teach my kids, okay? That there is a world out here that is not protecting you, but there is a God that said he will meet all of your needs, but he said you have to make sure that he that dwelleth under the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. Under the Almighty will be saved. So we can't think like everybody else thinks. We can't live like everybody else lives. We got to speak up for what's right and do what's right and realize that God said, I want to honor you, but you got to be honorable. And I also want to talk about honor for a second. If you don't teach yourself honor, you'll be saying, yes, your honor, no, your honor. When am I released, your honor? Because you have to honor stuff even when you don't want to honor it. There's a lot of things that I despise right now that are going on in our world, but I respect offices. I respect people. I respect people's choices. I respect religions. I respect everybody. I respect people's lawns. I respect people's opinions. Just because your opinions are not my opinions, I can still respect the fact that you have a different viewpoint than me. But my viewpoint when I'm preaching to you is not like some kind of right wing or left wing. I'm going with the wing of the shadow of the Almighty, the Word, and teach you what it says from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and 21, so you can prosper and be in health. So you're not in debt, doing everything but thinking. The acronym, doing everything but tithing. If you can get this one thing right, you never have to be broke another day in your life. I want to teach you this as we go. Let's establish a budget. Number one, this week, we need to say, today's the day that I'm going to first fruit God. I can't trust myself with the money right now because when I look at it, I go, oh, what can I do with that money? So I'm going to just direct deposit it, okay? Then I'm going to 10-10-80 it. Even though I say, I don't have any money to save, then I'm going to have a debt reduction party. There's actually a party, it's probably put in your bulletin that's coming up soon. It's when I release my new book on solving your money problems. Where I teach you techniques, science, art, skill sets that I've learned over the years to take our ministry from where it was to where it is. And it's very easy stuff, but you got to do it. And the first thing you do is you add no due debts and you freeze those credit cards. Go put it in the freezer. Because by the time you get back to the mall and that thing thaws out, you'll realize that you don't want it. Also advise you to use cash. There's something neurological in the brain that happens. If you eat these M&Ms, something happens. Right now. Oh, that's good. I like it. My brain's going, I like that. That's good. It's melting right now in my mouth. One of it's actually fell into one of my bad cavities. I feel it in there. I'm digging that around. Okay. So it's releasing endorphins in my brain. When you go to the store and you go buy the 70-inch TV and you have 10 $100 bills, scientific fact, and you slide the 10 $100 bills across and they give you the TV, you walk away and you feel a little grief. There's a little loss. I lost that money. If you hand them a credit card, they hand it back to you. Neurologically, it never set off anything in your brain to tell you that you lost anything. You gave them something, they gave you something big, and they gave you the thing that got you the thing back. See what I'm saying? So if you go get the cash, chances are you'll look at it and go, do we really need a 70? I don't think we do. Because the quickest way to double your money is to fold it back up and put it back in your pants and go home and save that money and use that money to reduce the life of your loans and your debts and pay off your credit cards. Now, another thing I want to say is pay off your credit cards and ask God to help you. Say, God, I promise you, I'm going to first fruit you. And right now, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And what do you do? People, smart people will tell you, pay off the credit card with the highest amount of, you know, the highest interest rate. Do that one. Those are stupid people. You don't know your math. No, you don't know your math. We're looking for not math. We're looking for momentum. So I'd rather you take a credit card that owed $100 on it and you paid it off. And maybe it was a low. Maybe it was only 1%. Pay off the 100 and go, oh, we paid it off. Thank you, Lord. We paid it off. And then copy it and put it in your little book. And go, well, we paid that one off. Then you go for the next one. Then you go for the next one. Don't be smart like these people that are broke to say, well, that just doesn't make mathematical sense. We're not looking for mathematical sense. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for inertia. We're looking for forward momentum. And what I'm telling you right now works because I did it. I'm out of debt. My needs are met. I got plenty more to put up in store. I don't have to do this job because I need the money. In fact, the money that the church gives us as a salary, there's a private independent board besides the church board, a financial board. And they every year they bring it, and they say, this is how much money the church is paying you. And we slide back 50%, 50%. We're the biggest givers in our church. We slide back 50 because we don't need it. And then God just blesses us. I have no sad stories to tell you. I'm just telling you this works. I'm a homeschooler who lived in South St. Louis who is surprised as Gomer Pyle. I can't believe I get to do this. But I get to do it knowing that there's no, if you don't give, I'm fine. I can go on television. It just added another $8,000 a month. This week I signed a 2, 4, 6, 8, $2,000 a week, ABC. That's $2,000 for 30 minutes of time, and I added it. And we did it. Why? Because it'll help people. Why? Because this church is blessed. Because we practice first fruiting God, and it'll happen for you. And I want to say this. If you think, well, preacher's trying to get my money. First of all, I want to get your money. Just don't give. And let me see how, 5 years from now, we'll check back and see if you're still broke. Because you need to honor God. Because there's one way to get your barns filled with plenty, and that's to make a decision that I will never, ever do it again. And then expect this. Everybody shout, I'm expecting. Come on, shout it louder, our city everywhere. I'm expecting something good to happen to me. So when you're a tither, you just go around thinking, man, something good's going to happen to me. So, and then use extreme wisdom. Don't buy everything right now. Just cool your jets. Anybody ever bought stuff and then realized after the payment came in, you wish you didn't? You swore to God you were never going to eat in the car. Come on, raise your hand if you were not going to eat in this car. But then in a month later, you were in a hurry and you ate in the car. And there's a chicken nugget under every vehicle in this parking lot today. Because you know our rhythm. You know our cycle. Left alone as the CFO, we get ourselves in trouble. But if we come to church and we recalibrate ourselves, we go through growth track, we serve, and we realize what the priority is, then you can enjoy your life. I do want you to stop the Starbucks stuff. Stop the nails. To get you your nails at home for a while until we get this done. It don't seem like you're going slower. But at the end, when you can do anything you want to do, it makes it fun. Because I'm going to tell you what feels good. What feels good is being able to go downtown St. Louis and buy everybody coats. What feels good is to go into Ferguson the other day, as we did as a church family, and everybody in line for about an hour, everybody who, most of them didn't even have the money to pay for their bills that month, and you all just had the church credit card, and you paid everybody's bills. It was so satisfying. You all saw it, and it's like, wow, that's what we ought to do. And then people go, I think I want to serve Jesus. Come on, somebody. Every head bowed and every eye closed here and at Earth City right now. I want to ask you a question. How many of y'all feel like you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are some adjustments that you need to make in your finances? Raise your hand so God can see your hand. I don't need to see it, but God needs to see your hand. You can put it down. Now, I'm going to pray this prayer with you, not for you, because God needs to hear you and you need to hear yourself say this. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's going to set you on the fast path to getting out of debt and getting your priorities in line with God. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to first of all, forgive me for thinking this is my money. This is your money, and you're allowing me to keep the 90%, and I'm returning the 10%, and you will bless me so that I qualify for the life you've designed for me. I don't want to have money problems my whole life. I make a decision today. I'm the CFO of my life. And starting right now, I make that change. I make that a judgment. And I will never rob God again. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give God praise today.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.